Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
We've been in the book of Matthew now for going on 2 years, and we're, only in chapter 9, so probably by the year like 2030, we'll be finished with the book of Matthew, because there are a lot of good things in the book of Matthew that we need to stop and go over and talk about. Like, what is Jesus saying in here? And in the Follow Me series, we've really been looking at the different things that Jesus has said and what it looks like to follow him, to be immediate in our actions, to be willing to like give up the things that feel like comfortable and cozy to us. How many of you identified with Pastor Sheree's analogy last week of like the old jeans, like your favorite pair of jeans, right? Being willing to give those up. Why do we keep talking about like giving things up? Well, that's because Jesus is always going to ask us to give stuff up. And he does, right? He's always going to ask us. So if you're sitting here and like, all they do at Hope City is preach about what we need to give up. Yep, you're right, because we're living it every day too. And he asks us to give up stuff all the time. Because once we've dealt with one thing and we've like, okay, Jesus, I'm giving this up, or I've kind of let this slide in my life and I need to get back on track with you. And we put that into practice and we're like, okay, we're back into a good rhythm. Then he's like, okay, and now there's this piece. So now let's talk about this next thing. That is our normal Christian walk. Our faith walk with Jesus is always going to be a series of Jesus tapping us on the shoulder and saying, can I have that now? Now I'm ready for this part. Do you trust me with this? Right? That's what it looks like, okay? And so really, that's what this Follow Me series is honing in on. Like, what are the things that Jesus is asking us to give up? And in order to wholeheartedly follow Jesus, some of the things he asks us to give up, honestly, in the realm of speaking of things, they're easy. It's like, okay, I can do that. For example, I'm just going to be real. You don't know me any other way. Okay, like for a couple weeks ago, Jesus tapped me on the shoulder and he was like, listen, I've called you, and we're going to get to this in a moment. I've called you to be living in this world but not look like this world. And lately, you've let your mouth look a lot like the world. And I need you to get your mouth back under control and stop using these extra words that aren't bringing me glory. That's what he said to me. And I was like, okay, Jesus. Okay, is that hard? No, that is not a hard ask. That is not a hard ask to change my habits or change my loose tongue and stop saying, you know, some bad words here and there. That's not hard, okay? But there's other times that he asks us for things that we might feel like, these actually keep me safe. Right? Oh, like I don't want to give that up. This is who I am. I promise you, if he hasn't asked you for something hard yet, he will. So just get ready. It's coming, okay? Because one of the hardest things that he's going to ask us to give up is our dignity. What? What's our dignity? I was reading a book by Pastor Bill Johnson, who's the pastor of Bethel Church in Redding, California. And he's written a lot of books, but one of my favorites is called When Heaven Invades Earth. And in this book, he talks about when he was early on as pastor of Bethel Church, and he was just praying one night, like, God, I just want more of your presence in my life. I want more of your presence in our church. I want people to be pointed to you. I want to be walking in obedience and signs and wonders that you called us to in your word, that we're going to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons. I want to be obedient to you. I want more of your presence. And Jesus talked to him while he was praying, and he's like, do you mean that? Because it's going to cost you something. And Bill said, whatever it is, God, I'll give you everything. Like, whatever it is, I'll give it. And Jesus said, it's going to cost you your dignity. And when I read that, I was like, what does that even mean? Here's what the word dignity in the Oxford Dictionary says. The state or quality of being worthy of honor or respect, a sense of self-pride, a sense of pride in oneself, and self-respect. Why would Jesus ask for that? That's not a bad thing, is it? Having dignity, being worthy of honor and respect, having a sense of pride in what we do, having self-respect, having respect for ourselves. Why would Jesus ask for that? Well, when we get to a point where our dignity is more important than our obedience, and what people think about us is more important than our obedience and what God's calling us to and what God's calling us out of, then our dignity gets in the way of our growth. And that is what Jesus was saying to Bill. Like, I want your dignity. And that's what he says to you. I want your dignity. The passage of scripture that we're looking at today is broken up a little bit. Okay? We're reading in the book of Matthew chapter 9, but today we're going to focus on verses 18 and 19, and then verses 23 to 26. There's a reason for this. Because from verses 18 all the way through verse 26, there's one specific event that Jesus is going from one place to the other. Okay, from start to finish. But then within that passage as well, there's another big thing that happens. And we're going to skip over that portion today because we're coming back to that in 2 weeks to talk about that one thing, because it's a really important story and we have a lot to learn from that passage of scripture. So we're going to just talk about this one specific event that came from like start to finish with Jesus. And here is where we are, starting in verse 18. It says this: as Jesus was saying this, the leader of a synagogue came and knelt before him. My daughter has just died, he said, but you can bring her back to life if you just come and lay your hands on her. Pause. Do you hear the faith of this man? Okay. We know not from the book of Matthew, but from other gospels. There's Matthew, there's also Mark, Luke, and John that all tell the story of Jesus when he was on earth. And we know that this leader, his name was Jairus. And it says he was the leader of a synagogue, meaning that he was religious. He obviously was of a group that believed that Jesus was at least a man of like, he was at least a prophet sent by God. I don't know if Jairus believed that he was actually God's son. He was the Messiah. It doesn't say that. But it does say that Jairus had faith that Jesus could do something miraculous, right? His daughter had already died. And he leaves the house and he comes to Jesus and asks him to come with him. So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. When Jesus arrived at the official's home, he saw the noisy crowd and heard the funeral music. That's because Jairus' daughter had already died. And so they had done the customary things. They had brought in the mourners, the weepers, to actually cry over the death, to express mourning, to play the funeral songs. It was a whole event when someone had died. This was already going on. When Jesus showed up, this was already happening, and it was noisy. There was a lot of people there. There was music going on. And so he saw this happening, and he says, "Get out," he told them. "The girl isn't dead. She's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him. After the crowd was put outside, however, Jesus went in, took the girl by the hand, and she stood up. The report of this miracle swept through the country, through the entire countryside. Now, I don't want to skim over this incredible miracle that happened, okay? Jesus went to this man's house whose daughter was dead. Okay, she'd been dead for a while. She had died while her father was there. They made the arrangements for the funeral procession. And then her father leaves and goes and finds Jesus. So she was like dead, right? Okay. Jesus shows up and he's like, no, she's only sleeping. And he brings her back to life. That's a miracle, right? It's a miraculous thing. And we never want to just be like, wow, that's pretty cool. But also, I think we need to know two things. Number one, any miracle that happened in the Bible and any miracle that happens now happens for one purpose, and that's to point people to Jesus. Okay? It's not done for us to be like, oh man, my life is so much easier now. Oh man, you know, my back got healed and my life is so much easier now and I can do stuff. It's for one thing and one thing only, and it's to point people to Jesus, okay? Secondly, any physical miracle, any healing that is done on this earth always ends eventually in what? Say it up. Death, doesn't it? I mean, this young girl was raised back to life, but guess what? She was still gonna die someday, right? Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus still died at some point in his life, right? So any physical healing that happens in this world is just temporary. Until we get to our eternal healing in heaven, all right? But when we see something happen, we need to celebrate that. Like, recognize it for what it is and tell people about it. That's the whole purpose why Jesus does miracles through us today, okay? But the focus of today's message is found in verse 24, and it says this. When Jesus arrived at the official's home, he saw the noisy crowd and heard the funeral music. Get out, he told them. The girl isn't dead, she's only asleep. But the crowd laughed at him. They laughed at Jesus. They laughed at him. Today's message is titled, Let Them. Let them. People are not going to understand your relationship with Jesus. Let them laugh. People are not going to understand why going to church and being plugged into a life group is a priority in your life, and they are going to mock, they're going to make fun of, they're going to push you to make other commitments outside of that. Let them. Let them not understand. But don't let them change your devotion and your commitment. Okay? The people laughing at Jesus didn't faze him. They didn't faze him in what he was doing. I'm sure they had some type of an effect on him. But he had come to do something. You want to laugh? Go ahead, laugh. I'm still going to do what I came to do. You want to get angry at me? Go ahead, get angry at me. I'm still going to do what I came to do. Our faith in God is not going to be understood or accepted by everyone. And if anyone struggles with self-confidence, this might be an issue for you. If you find identity in people like thinking the best of you and people approving of you, then you're going to really struggle with your long-term walk with Jesus. Until you are able to stand in confidence, where you should go to Kelly's life group on Friday nights, because that's exactly what it focuses on, is standing in confidence. Until you're able to stand in confidence that this is who I am, I have made a decision to follow Jesus, and sometimes it's going to make a decision that makes someone else uncomfortable. Until you can do that in confidence, you're going to have a hard time following Jesus, right? You are not going to be accepted by everyone. You are not going to fit in everywhere. You shouldn't be. When everyone starts inviting you to the things that aren't bringing glory to Jesus, my question would be, why would they even think to invite you in the first place? Why would they invite you? When I was growing up in high school, I could not even tell you where the parties were. Not because I was some goody two-shoes and that nobody talked to me. I knew everybody. I was friends with everybody. I was nice to everybody. Do you know I never got invited to one party when I was in high school or in college? Never. Why? Well, because they already knew where I stood. I was confident of it. And they didn't, why would they invite me? I didn't do that. And they knew it. But it didn't affect my relationship with them. You are not going to be accepted by everyone. So point number one, let them laugh. Let them laugh. There were many times in the Bible that people were mocked and laughed at because of their faith or obedience. I do not have time to tell you about all of them, but I'll tell you about a few. First of all, Noah. Noah, in the book of Genesis, is told by God to build this big boat because God's going to destroy the earth with water. Guys, you need to understand that in Noah's day, not one drop of rain had ever fallen from the sky. The earth was watered by underground springs, and there was a natural way of water, an irrigation that watered the earth. Rain had never fallen. And here's God that tells Noah, I'm destroying this place. These people are wicked. They're not listening to me. So you get out here and you start building this boat. And you invite everyone to come on and tell them what's going to happen. And anyone that chooses to come, let them in. So here's Moses building the largest cruise ship to ever set sail on dry land. And as he's building away, he's telling people, God is sending rain. God is going to destroy the earth by flood. And he's inviting you to get on this boat. And do you know what they did? They said, you are crazy. You don't even make sense. And they laughed at him and they mocked at him, like, oh, there's that preacher guy, Noah, again. Look out, God's going to destroy the earth. Right? And in the end, Moses and his family were the only ones on that boat, and they were the only ones saved. Well, there was the prophet Ezekiel, and God had spoken to Ezekiel to speak to the nation of Israel during one of their severely rebellious times. They were serving other gods. They were doing things that were detestable to God, like sacrificing their own children to a god named Molech. And God talks to Ezekiel, and he's like, here's some things I want you to do to show them the severity of what they're doing. Here's the first thing. I want you to lie on your side, on your left side, for an extended amount of time. You can't move. You just have to lay on your side. Well, that's weird. What is he doing? He hasn't even moved in days. He's just laying there on his side. He is weird. Ezekiel, you know what else I want you to do? I want you to make a fire. And I want the fuel for that fire to be only human excrement. That's poop. In case you don't know. Ew, Ezekiel, what are you doing? Why would you do that? Ew. That, and I'm sure Ezekiel in his head is like, I don't know. God wants me to do it though, so maybe you should pay attention. Right? People's opinions of Ezekiel didn't change his obedience to what God was calling him to do. It was different. It was not what they expected. And yet, he still did it. King David is like marching with his army back into his kingdom, bringing the Ark of the Covenant back home with him. And he is ecstatic. And he is dancing so hard that his clothes actually fall off of him. He exposes his nakedness to his people, right? And his wife says, well, how dignified were you today, King David, exposing yourself to all of the people in Israel? And you know what King David said to her? I'll become even more undignified if that means dancing before my Lord and showing how much I love him and praise him and appreciate him for bringing us out of that. I'll do it all over again. Right? God asks us to do some things that sacrifice our dignity. I don't think he's going to ask you to dance naked. I also don't think he's going to ask you to make a fire with your own poop. Okay? But he asks us to do things that people are like, why? Why are you doing that? Why are you so weird? You are strange. And here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 to 12. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets, the ones I just told you about, were persecuted in the same way. Jesus says, when people laugh at you, when they question, like, what is wrong with you, be happy about that. Because they're recognizing that you are different. And we should be different. When I was in high school, and I just got my first car, you might remember, I shared about my first car a couple months ago. It was a root beer colored 1978 Chevy Chevette. And it was a beaut. I was so proud of it. And I had been serving Jesus since I was 8 years old. I remember the day that I decided to accept Jesus. I was 8 years old. And I was proud of my relationship with Jesus. And people knew that I had a relationship with Jesus. I didn't have to march around my high school and tell people that I had a relationship with Jesus. People knew. People just knew. They would ask me about things, and I would talk to them about church or talk to them about, you know, my walk with Jesus and what I was reading in my Bible. People just knew. And when I got my first car, I was so excited to get a bumper sticker. A bumper sticker. Do you guys even know what that is anymore? Right? And so I was like looking at all the different bumper stickers I could get on my car. And the one I chose had this scenery of like evergreen trees and mountains and river, this beautiful landscape. And then in words it said, Oregon is Jesus country. And I was like, yes, it is. We live in this beautiful place, and Jesus lives here with us, and that's what I'm getting. And I remember pulling up into the school parking lot one day, and here comes these two guys that, guys, I had been in school with them since sixth grade. And not had we only been classmates, but we had done things together since sixth grade. All three of us had been in band together since sixth grade. So that means like sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, 10th grade. We had all been in band together. We've gone to band competitions. We've gone to marching field show competitions. One of them, we'd been in competitive speech together. I mean, we'd done things together. So it wasn't just like we had an acquaintance with each other. We knew each other. We'd been hanging out, okay? We were friends. I'm not going to say their names because there's a chance, you know, you might know who they are. And I still love these guys. And I'm walking out of my car this one day, and all of a sudden I hear these two guys, "Woo! Praise Jesus! Hallelujah! Jesus Country is Oregon! Woo!" And I looked over, and they were completely mocking me. They were laughing at me for my bumper sticker. And I looked at them, and I'm like, "Yeah, it is. Laugh away." Now, obviously, their words did something to me, because I still remember them today, right? They obviously did something. But their words did not cause me to rip that bumper sticker off my car. That bumper sticker stayed on my car. Their words didn't cause me to stop and be like, "Well, maybe I shouldn't. Like, maybe I should go to a party. Maybe I should find out where the next party is to show them that I'm not like some holy roller or something." Their words didn't make me question what God had called me to. When something is not understood, a lot of times we consider it weird, right? That is weird. We tend to mock and make fun of what we don't understand. In John 15, verses 18 through 19, it's not on the screen because I added this after I'd already sent the message in to put on slides. It happens sometimes. God just keeps talking to me after I finish my message. John chapter 15, verses 18 to 19 says this: "If the world hates you, remember it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belonged to it. But you are no longer part of this world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you." Guys, when we make a decision to follow Jesus, we are no longer considered citizens of this world. We are considered citizens of heaven. There's something supernatural in the spirit that happens, and we are no longer considered citizens of this world. That doesn't take us out of the world that we're living in. We're still part of this world. We're still in this world. But God calls us to a different lifestyle now. He calls us to live like we don't belong to this world. He calls us to live differently. And the life that he calls us to live looks different than the world around us looks. And they're like, "That is weird. Why can't you just," like our song says, "why can't you just do your own thing? Do whatever feels good. That's what you should be able to do." No, because God called me out of that. God called me to do something different. I'm supposed to crucify my flesh every day. I'm supposed to do things differently. I'm not supposed to live by my feelings and what I think my own truth is. And the world says, "That is weird. A loving God wouldn't ask you to do that." A loving God challenges us to grow and change on a daily basis because he doesn't want us to stay the way he found us. So there's this natural progression, though, that happens when something is different. They laugh, they mock, they avoid. But if we stick around, that mockery, the laughing, the avoidance turns to curiosity. And they start asking questions like, "Why do you do that? Why do you go to church every Sunday? Why is it important for you to be in a life group? Why don't you indulge in all of the things that we indulge in?" In Acts chapter 2, people were amazed to hear the apostles speaking in their native tongues. It talks about on the day of Pentecost, and I'm trying to wrap it up here, so I'm not going to read it all, but it's okay, put it up there. And I'm not going to read it all because it's long, and I'm trying to wrap it up. But on the day of Pentecost, it talks about how a group of believers, of about 150 believers, were in one room waiting for the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised. And suddenly, the room shook. A loud wind came in. Fire, flames were coming out from the tops of their heads. And they started speaking in other languages. And there were all kinds of different people living in the area at that time. And they heard their own native tongue being spoken by these different people. And what they were hearing was about the gospel message, the good news of who Jesus was, what's available through him. And they were amazed. And they started to asking questions. Like, how can this happen? What's going on? But when we look at the end of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, it says, there were others in the crowd that ridiculed them and said, they're just drunk. That's all. If the believers would have left it there and just became discouraged or embarrassed because of what those people in the crowd were saying, the church would not be here today. Listen, that was the birth of our church. That was the birth of churches worldwide, right there at that time. If those believers would have just been like, oh, I don't know what that was. That was weird. And they just went their own way, then things would be very different for us. But Peter got up in front of all of those people and explained exactly what happened. Because they were, what's going on? How can this happen? What? Why are they saying these things? Peter gets up and he preaches the gospel message from Abraham to Jesus. Talks about our need for salvation, what Jesus did for them. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 41, it says, those who believed that what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. Come on. If Peter had not have gotten up, 3,000 people would have been destined for hell. And nothing would have changed for them. But because Peter let them ask questions and he chose to answer them, 3,000 people changed their address for eternity. I'm going to ask everyone just to bow their heads right now. I want you to hear what I'm saying right now. If we become more concerned with our reputation and dignity than God's kingdom, we're never going to bear good fruit. And the people around us are going to miss the message of salvation. Maybe you're sitting here today, and this is something new for you. Like, whoo! I've never even made a decision to follow Jesus, so no, I've actually been one of those that thought this was weird, and now it's all making sense to me. The first step is this. Say yes to Jesus.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.